Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with Matt Marrero along with
Anthony St. Andrews.
Yes, and I will now be playing our official theme. Strangely, technical difficulties, not that we couldn't play the actual theme, but here we are playing the theme for this week, This Week in Comics.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I did.
Okay, enough of that. That's currently how Peter Parker feels, I think.
I knew,
right?
I knew that was either going to be the intro or outro for today's episode.
But yes, I would like to say, though, that we will be talking about Superior Spider-Man a bit later when we get our friend, hopefully when we get our friend Nate on the phone. Hopefully he will be calling in, and if not, well then, you know what, screw Nate. Hopefully he hears this in the archives later. Screw Nate. But if he calls, then great. Good for him, right? Awesome. Good guy. Really good guy. Right now, though, let's talk about Batman Eternal.
All right.
What do you think about issue number two?
It didn't really... I mean, it was good. It didn't really blow me away or anything. There was nothing like... there was really nothing like Batman punching a plane. So,
right,
I
nothing,
mean...
Yeah, no, nothing of that nature.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty good. I did like, in the beginning, I think it was like four pages in, how they kind of broke the news of Jim Gordon being arrested to the entire Bat family. And you just get
that
to see what each one of them is doing.
That was a beautiful thing.
And then you just have Red Hood at a bar with a bunch of knocked out dudes
in Hong
him
Kong.
In Hong Kong. Yeah.
Yes. I'm a big fan of the family. I'm a big fan of them kind of just alluding, you know, they're not alluding, like kind of just doing references to the fact that he has people in his life, Batman, who are there for him and, you know, who know what's going on. So it's just really cool to kind of just see, like, you know, just the news flash to everyone. And that happened also in, you know, Death in the Family, where you kind of have this, all right, what are we all doing here, you know, in different areas. Also in the, you know, when the Talons attacked and things like that, where it's just, here's what everyone else is doing to kind of, like, fight the good fight, or, you know, them all coming together. It's a really interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I like
but,
that. We're going with the spoilers in this podcast, or no?
We're going to go into spoilers. It's only because it's a day late, and we're very sorry if you have not read them, but it's a day late, so, I mean, you know, comics come out Wednesday, bright and early, depending on, you know, on your shop, bright and early, second it opens up, so Thursday.
So let's talk about Carmine Falcone, then.
Yeah.
Because that was the last person I expected that to be.
I was just very confused. I was like, are we going for a new character? Are we doing the Riddler? Like, is that what we're, because green suit. I was like, who are we pointing the finger at here? And it's like, no, Falcone. It's like, all right, I don't know how he can cause an apocalypse, but all right.
I mean, that was just bizarre. And then the whole thing with, I don't remember the guy's name, but he was one of the inmates in Arkham. And you just had, when he said to remember the name, and he said Blackfire, I don't know what's up with that, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weekly, that's what's kind of cool, where it's weekly, so it's like a TV show in the sense that, you know, if you don't know what's going to happen this week, don't worry, you'll know next week, so it's okay. But as of right now, you know, it's a bit like, where are we going with this, you know? I mean, I'm even though it sounds stupid that I'm sticking with this, like, dark side kind of, like, theory in a way, where it's like when I first, you know, heard, like, I'm taking everything away from you in the first issue. I was like, oh, and there's, you know, an entire apocalypse. So I'm like, all right, well, people who usually make apocalypses are kind of like dark side, you know, really kind of. So if it's just Falcone, that's very underwhelming.
Yeah.
To kind of cause this whole, you know.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I really had no expectation for who it was going to be, but I just, Falcone was the last person in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, basically. I mean, it can go anywhere, and I want to see where this goes. I think maybe the journey, it might be one of those things where it's like, you know, the journey will be interesting, but just the ending won't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll see, because for all, yeah, I mean, if they do mob-level stuff for real, and it becomes, like, you know, assassination attempts or really cool things like that, then it could be a very interesting kind of, you know, comic book series. I don't like that it's, you know, in canon, but we've already had this conversation. It's there. What can we do?
Yeah.
So we have a caller. I'm going to assume that it's our lovely friend Nate. However, I'm gonna see right now. Let's just click him in. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Caller? Yes, Nate.
Oh, thank God.
I've been on here for a while now, just waiting for you guys to start with Superior.
Basically, well, because here's the thing. Here's the thing, everyone. See, Nate called late, so Nate is going to wait. I don't mean to rhyme. I'm really sorry. Nate is going to wait until we talk about Superior, which is now, since you're on. So, everyone, hello, Nate. Nate, wave to them.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Nate.
They can't see you waving. If anyone else wants to call in, by the way, please remember that the number is 718-664-9468. 718-664-9468. Now, obviously, I assume all of us here, all three of us, have read the Superior Spider-Man 31.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, what do we think here, guys? Let's start off with Nate. Nate, what did you think about reading? We can talk about spoilers. What did you think about Superior Spider-Man 31?
One word. Definitely underwhelming.
Very underwhelming?
Yeah. I'll pass it on Anthony.
Wait, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Pass it, sorry.
I'll pass it on. I'll go more into detail later.
All right. Yeah.
Well, me and Nate actually got a chance to talk about this a bit before the show, and I felt the same way. What really underwhelmed me the most was the final showdown between Spider-Man and the Goblin. But
what showdown?
Again, we're just... Well, exactly. It was just
yeah.
such a build-up, and then there was just, like, he pulls off the mask. We have no idea who this guy is until he's like, I'm Norman, and now I can change my face. I mean, okay, I guess we can do that in the realm of comic books, but it was just so weird. But what did you think, Matt?
No, I agree. I mean, I enjoy Peter getting the suit back, at least. I enjoy Peter being Peter. But, I mean, it's just, I'm wondering how long it's going to take. Because now it's just like, all right, so now we have to deal with the fallout. And, I mean, I think the one thing I did enjoy, is him saying, damn, like, someone did have to die for me to get these powers back. When he realized it, when he was talking to Anna, and he's like, damn, like, someone had to die. Like, you know, that was a little, like, oh, damn, that's true. That sucks. That's Peter's life. But, yeah, the rest of it was just... It was just one of those things where it's just like, we're building up to the best thing ever. And it's like, no, it can't be the best thing ever because, God forbid, we have another, oh, look, he died, you know, like Osborn's dead, officially dead. No, we can't have any of that. Because obviously if he's dead, then no more sales of Oz. So it's like, no, he has to be alive. And then, I mean, the only thing that kind of changed up the status quo, in my opinion, was, you know, JJ not being the mayor anymore, which was stupid because... It was just like, Peter's like, I can solve this. Here, I'm sorry. And all of a sudden, JJ's like, well, I mean, you know, I did resign 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, shit. And then just walked right out. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. So, what are we going to go into detail about, Nate? Definitely want to hear about this.
Well, first of all, there's a lot of different things going on in this one issue. The Goblin, J. Jameson... his relationships in terms of his aunt, his ex-girlfriend, MJ, Anna Maria, whose relationship with Peter Parker is very complicated because of the whole Doc Ock situation.
Yes.
There's also the city influence now. He has his problems with the Avengers. We also didn't resolve that issue because Cap was like, when this is all over with, Spider-Man will be arrested. So that's one other aspect. We also have Alex, which is the future Oscorp.
Well, sadly, that can never... It's kind of funny. They literally said, Alchemax can never be resolved. So I assume they will just show the fight with them forever and ever, even though... It's like, I know a sliding timeline exists. Like, you know what a sliding timeline means, right?
Explain it to viewers or listeners.
Okay. Well, basically, for our others, basically, you know, what sliding timeline is referring to is the fact that, like, you know, technically, no one can really ever age. And while they will have things like, you know, like now they'll make Twitter references because that's the age that we're in, they're still not really trying to, like, make a true, like, push, you know, like really make everyone aware that Spider-Man began in-universe 40 years ago, right? So basically, like, even though technically 2099 will one day be here, you know, they still have to just be like, no, Alchemax, that's like the future. So Although it is in our time. In other words, that, you know, he will just have to fight Alchemax again and again and again, but could never actually destroy him, because if they do, then either it's a reboot, either they're, you know, like, just washing everything away, like, oh, yeah, forget about this, or there's going to be a severe time disruption and everything will cease to exist.
Or more importantly, yeah, there would be no new 2099 series this summer.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, that's coming out in July.
Yeah.
The editor. Let's go buy that. But the thing is, though, I agree. I would be nice if he could just look at the Avengers and just say, hey, Otto Octavius. But, I mean, there was a fight going on, and I think they're going to save that for literally, like, an aftermath kind of, like, series. Not more like an arc, where it's just, you know, it could literally be called, like, picking up the pieces or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they're just going to try and have him restore his life back to normal, even though, like, normal is never really good for him. But better than what will be happening right now, where you have J.J., because now J.J. resigned, but at the same time made thinly veiled threats, which always worry me.
Oh, absolutely.
So now there's a chance where he's just like, oh, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, he's like, you know, like, what was it, something along the lines of, it's like, you know, like,
he always got kicked around.
It.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah, he's
now
something like
kicking around.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Uh-oh, that's
never,
you know,
good.
Like, that literally, you know, you hear those lines and you're like, I think that's every villain's origin story.
I'm
and
pretty sure that's what Darth Vader
him.
Said before he built the Death Star.
Yeah.
So, but no, I agree with you, Nate, though. Like, there was a lot that was unresolved, but I assume they're doing that simply because you need to buy Amazing Spider-Man. Because if they resolved everything, like, the only time I think I can really see recently when they resolved it was when Amazing Spider-Man ended into Superior, so that any Amazing Spider-Man fans didn't feel upset about the change. But now it's like, oh, no, but the change is reverting back to Peter, so everyone's happy, right? Yeah, go on to reading Amazing, other than Nate. Nate's the only one that's upset.
No, I'm a little upset.
No, fair enough. I actually, it's kind of funny. I didn't want it to end either in a weird way. At first, I didn't want it to begin. But once I got on the ride, I was like, oh, it's kind of ending kind of quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I
think
I feel like a lot of things were pushed into one comic as well.
Towards the end, absolutely.
Yes, yes. I mean, once I was like, because at first I was like, eh. But then when I really got into it, I was absorbed into, you know, Superior Spider-Man, or many call them Spock on the internet. You know, I was really, like, into it. And I think, you know, and it's funny how we all were, but now all of a sudden things are changing. And people either don't want it to go, which is great, because I remember at first, I don't know about you guys, but at first I was very opposed to this idea.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, we definitely were. I mean, I remember
yeah.
It was like the
and
same day me and Nate went to the comic book
the
shop.
Slot.
Yeah, he pretty much, he's like, I'm going to pick it up, but I'm not going to like it. It was hysterical. And then you just went back, and we went back and got number 2 and 3, and then we were like, I
yeah.
love this. Let's let Dan Slott
yeah.
live.
Yeah, basically. No, I mean, there were a couple things. I think that we can talk about it as kind of like a whole run. I'm still not, like, I actually really hated how he had this kind of plot armor. Like, I know a lot of characters have plot armor. You know, like, it's the reason why the Doctor and Doctor Who doesn't get shot by Daleks every 5 seconds. You know, there's plot armor. The main character isn't really going to die unless they want him to either die or get injured or whatever. Okay. But the fact that just anything that Otto Octavius did as Peter Parker, which seemed, it wasn't even like it was a bit off in a subtle kind of way. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you know, like, usually he gets cereal, but today he got waffles. But isn't that kind of interesting? It's like, yeah, you know how that Peter, you know, it's like, you know how that Spider-Man guy usually, like, you know, goes about it, like, in a justice heroic kind of way? Well, yeah, what's the difference, Bob? Well, you know, today he kind of made spider bots, and he turned Spider Island into a secret lair, and he kind of has henchmen. Like, explain, run that one to me again. Like, well, you know, so that, like,
it's
so
not
that
like he
right
shot
there.
A mass murderer in a subway.
Yeah, exactly, in front of every, like, I feel like Otto just pulled out his gun and was like, you know, like, screw Superman, I am the superior murderer. And just shot him in front of a family of four. Yeah, that's one of my critiques, where it felt like there was so much changing, and it took a lot of people, a lot of time, to really try and do something about it. And then everyone who might say, oh, no, but they did the whole machine stuff, you know, with the machines and whatever, try and prove, yeah, get someone like Tony Stark there. I don't care how busy people are. Really try to bring in someone who knows everything about the computer. Captain America can't work MySpace. Let's get someone in here who can understand how to work in like Captain America. Captain America will quite possibly shoot like a game of Pong, being like, "Nope, no. That's Soviet spy shit."
They were going to attack
I'm not into
you guys
that.
Don't know.
Yeah, it's like Cap. That's a video game from the 70s. I don't really agree with that, guys. We should
just
we should
because it's from
Pong.
The 70s doesn't mean it's not a threat, people.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Anything else? Like, anything about the whole run did you guys, like, you know, find little... Because we talk about good, we talk about bad, but let's talk about bad for the, like, entire run. Like, was there anything in there that made you guys just go, no, not really a fan of this, you know, during the series itself?
Okay, I'm not sure if it was anyone else, but they did allude to the fact that they tried to just put in their face that when Adam Maria is falling off the building, they try to push him, like, yeah, you know what, Spidey's not going to make the same mistake that he did with Gwen Stacy in terms of pulling her back up with a web shot and
right. Making
sure he had the right angle. I felt like they were definitely trying to make that relation there, but they weren't being subtle about it. They were just like, yeah, let's put in these lines. Like, yeah, I've talked to this a thousand times on how to...
It was like when we were back, it's like reading a 50s comic book where they announced every single move they were going to do before they made it.
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like, at least when it comes to, you know, Marvel and DC, I don't feel like they take classes in subtlety. In general.
And especially in the beginning, they started with the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm not saying that it wasn't in Spider-Man or anything, but, you know, that, like, the not subtleness. But, I mean, I don't think they ever really go for subtlety kind of, you know. But I understand, though, where it's just like you were waiting for Stan Lee to say something. Like, and he saved her, true believer.
Exactly.
Yeah. But fair enough. And then
like, because I'm determined never to relive old nightmares.
That was a good line. I mean, that was a good line.
I think it would have been a better line had it not been... had it not been the afterline of practice 1,000 times, where to lock on someone, how much counterforce to use reeling them in. At this point, I could do this in my sleep.
No, I mean, that's just way too much.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Maybe, you know what, I've been reading too much Deadpool. I think that's what it is. And Deadpool says everything ever. So
oh,
now
Deadpool
all of a sudden I'm
tolerable.
Like, no, this is normal. Peter, what?
No, I said Deadpool, that's tolerable.
That's why. I think because I've been reading Deadpool, like, now Peter's, like, over-explaining everything. And I'm like, that's normal, guys. No, it's not. It's not normal. Ah, well. But, I mean, overall, though, what would we say about Superior Spider-Man? You know, good, bad, did you like it? Like, if we had to rate it, you know, from 1 to 10. What would you think that this issue at all cheapened the series, you think? Or do you think that you could still say...
I'll put in my 2 cents first. Honestly, this is just one issue out of an entire thing. It was just one great run. Because right before the Superior started is kind of when I started to become more interested and start collecting. And Superior actually kind of hooked me in even more so. Because I've never seen something like this as it was taken over by a villain and then turned good. So that was kind of a new twist on things. And the way that Dan Slott just pulled everything together, although the ending was a bit underwhelming, I have to say every issue always left me just wanting more and more, as in cliffhangers and what was going to happen next and how is this going to be resolved. You know, how are things going to get better from here? So
that's
true. It's definitely a 10. I mean, I may I do well because I am a hardcore Spider-Man fan. So, but that's my opinion.
Yes. All right, Nate goes with the 10. Anthony, what do you want to give?
I'm going to give it a 10 as well because I think the whole run was excellent. And the only thing I would complain about is the endings for certain arcs tended to be not so good, especially the Superior Venom arc. I just felt the ending of that when he took on the Avengers was way too short.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know, me and Matt didn't get a chance to talk about it because I think you were catching up with that prior to Wednesday. But me and Nate would usually like FaceTime after every issue, and we both kind of agreed that it was just such an underwhelming conclusion to Superior Venom because it was the shortest fight.
Yeah, I probably give it about maybe a 7 to 8 in that range, and the reason is because, you have to assume that whenever a writer is writing a character, he likes them, obviously. But
yeah.
I felt as if there was just a bit too much bias in the way that Hawk was presented as, you know, Spider-Man's greatest villain. And everything was so great about him, and that's why he had to take over. And he won. And for a while, it was always just, Hawk kind of being, this braggart when it's like, wait, but I thought you were... Because I understand not, like, letting old habits dying hard, as in, doing everything in a villain kind of way. I understand that. But in the way that he just kept on bragging and everything made it, I don't know, I guess it made you really want him to lose, his powers. But it was really hard to do that when he's doing such great things. Maybe that was his intention. If so, bravo then. But I wasn't a fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just all this plot armor where it's just, it's like he could lose sometimes, but very rarely. And I guess you could say it was setting him up for this giant fall.
Mm.
But it was just way too perfect, I think. Like, it was one of the things where it's just too perfect. It's too good. And it was a bit too much at certain points. However, I do have to say, though, that if we're including things like, let's say the Superior Spider-Man team-ups, those actually would possibly bump me up to, like, a 9, because those were actually really good, especially it was one with Deadpool. I don't know. Nate, you didn't get to read any of those, did you?
Yeah, I actually did great issues. I didn't get to read any of the recent ones, but I did read the earlier ones. If I'm not mistaken, is that the one with the Superior Six?
That itself was beautiful. That I would enjoy.
Exactly, yes. Superior Six,
yes.
Oh.
Yes, if we had to add that in there, it would actually bump it up to like a 9, I feel. But with Deadpool, it was great because I remember just Deadpool going, it's like, oh, yeah, Otto Octavius, that's for real, that stupid guy. It's like, what? But Otto Octavius was one of my greatest foes. It was like, great eating food, maybe. I would see that little stuff like that made me really enjoy, having Otto behind the mask, I feel.
Oh, yeah, and then
there
was the issue where Otto's Spider-Man was in Nova for an issue, and it was one of my favorite moments because Nova tries to help him out, thinking it's just Peter Parker, and he just yells and he goes, just leave this to the true heroes. Go listen to Justin Bieber or some singer like that. Just lines like that were just perfect for me.
Yes, I believe he pulled some other things like that as well about current technology, possibly to Deadpool. But it was it really was nice. I really do enjoy some of Spock's antics, because he did have some antics. And I enjoyed, him finding love and really trying to, get an actual degree with Parker. It was just, some of it was too perfect. Some of it ended up being too much. Like, wow, like why couldn't Peter have thought of this? Peter is a smart guy, like very smart. So it just felt like, Ock is even better than Peter.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, Ock's sacrifice was great, though. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, to combat that, I have to say that some of his inventions actually backfired on him. For example, the spider box, they backfired. The arms that he used, they were used against him. That was a marvelous piece, by the way. I loved it. What else? His spider island, a lot of it was turned against him. A lot of the inventions were turned against him or stolen or something. But I have to say, a lot of the things that he thought up were also used to, in the end, destroy him and make him go back to, wanting Peter to take over his body again. So I have to disagree with you on that part. But in the end, they did actually agree that Peter Parker, or Doc agreed that Peter Parker was clearly the superior one, that his inventions or his mind was clearly superior. I can't put it in better words.
No, it's true, and that's why, I did mention, there was a great fall at the end, which is good, I understand. There was a fall, and I probably should, I'm not holding it too much against them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was way too much like, I am the superior Spider-Man.
A lot of superior being stated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially especially in the first two issues, every other thing, Parker couldn't do this, I did, I'm superior. It was like every two pages he would mention how superior he is, how Parker's inferior.
Yeah, like, you know, that's kind of what, but I mean, hey, it lasted longer than I originally thought, and now that it got into us, we're thinking, oh, they're really doing this for Spider-Man 2. Like, it's kind of funny, because we assumed they were going to do this, but I think most people joked about it with the new Spider-Man coming out, that they were just going to immediately switch him back to Parker.
Yeah.
Like, I think most of us were just kidding. We didn't realize it was actually going to happen.
Yeah, because I remember when I was talking to you about it when it first came out. I'm like, don't worry, he'll be back when Amazing Spider-Man 2 comes out, sure enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember, and we both had a nice little chuckle about it. And then here we are. I think that's actually the only thing I can be really upset about. What was that, Nate?
In a way, I'm happy about it. I was talking to Andy about this earlier, that I'd rather it end now than it being dragged on and not liking. Because right now, I definitely have to say from the last issue was one of the high points, and that Superior will definitely be etched into my mind as one of the greatest, you know, Spider-Man arcs or stories out there. So I'm happy they ended out early rather than drag it on for two-plus years.
I agree. I mean, the thing is, though, is that I wouldn't want it for any longer than, let's say, 2 years, because, you know, there's no need for, unless they were actually committing to this, which is okay if they're actually committing to an actual change, because, hey, I'm actually cool with change. You know, I want, because I know it might sound silly that I originally said I didn't want, you know, Ock taking over the role. I didn't want him taking over the role because I knew it wouldn't last.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, but if they actually come into it saying, no, any future, like, we'll even make a movie where it happens, you know, if in any future event, you know, they will have Spock being Spock and, like, in, you know, cartoons or whatever, I would have been okay with it. I just knew that it was going to be changed, and that was my original thought. But, I mean, hey, you know, but again, though, I'm very happy that, you know, it did end, sadly, you know, again, a bit too soon, but I agree, though. It could have went on for, like, 5 years, and that would have been the worst possible thing that they could have ever done.
Yeah.
So, better too soon than too late. Well, that ends our Superior Spider-Man discussion. We'll continue with other things, but it was very nice having you on the show, Nate.
Yeah,
definitely call in more often. I mean, you know, definitely start picking up Amazing Spider-Man if it interests you. If you pick up the first issue and you like it, definitely keep on going, because we'd love to have you on the show again, all right?
Oh, thank you.
All right, take care, man. Right. Have a good one.
Have a good
later,
night.
Bye.
All right, so moving forward. Oh, by the way, if anyone else wants to call, talking about our next two things that we're talking about, first off, we're going to be talking about Winter Soldier Bitter March number 3. Please call in 718-664-9468, 718-664-9468. Now, Anthony, you're the one who told me about this series, because I didn't
mm-hmm.
know. I think you may have told it to me a while ago. Oh, hey, this is coming out. And, you know, I forgot about it because I had dipped out of comics for a bit. I come back in, and all of a sudden I pick this up because, you know, upon your recommendation. And were you just as confused as I was when you first picked up the first issue?
Oh, yeah. I was reading it, and I was like, I don't really understand anything that's going on, but it's Winter Soldier,
yeah.
So I'm just going to buy more. I mean, once you get past the first issue, you kind of think it gets easier to figure out exactly what's going on. And by issue 3, I don't know, I was able to figure everything out. I actually got names down, so.
Oh, yeah, no, it all made sense. It's just that, you know, if anyone hasn't read, which, by the way, I would like to add, just a little petty thing, get Batman Eternal if you haven't already. Get Superior Spider-Man, which is hard for me to say, but, hey, after its whole run, definitely TPB it so you can see where they're, you know, where it headed and how it finished up, because now it's a finished arc. And also get Winter Soldier Bitter March, because when you first open up, they don't tell you that they're in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I assume, both thought that they were going to do a current Winter Soldier arc, because it's happened before.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you just have Agent Chen, and you have a man who looks strikingly, you know, close to a younger white Nick Fury, and then Chen calls him Nick Fury. And you think, so that's Nick Fury.
Exactly.
And then and then you realize that they are currently picking up some German scientists from Hydra, because that's never a good German scientists and Hydra are never a good combination. So
never.
They're picking them up. And then sadly, a little man named Winter Soldier comes in, you know, from the Russians, trying to pick up these scientists, because again, any scientist and Russian back then is not a good combination either. So you basically have, you know, this kind of this turf war thing where it's like, all right, so we're trying to take these scientists away from the Germans, i.e. Hydra, and then KGB people are trying to take these scientists, and now S.H.I.E.L.D. is just stuck in the middle.
Not even just S.H.I.E.L.D., now it's just Agent Shen. He's pretty much
right,
on his
yes,
own, the train car of doom.
Yes, 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 yes. If you are caught up, then you'll realize that, obviously, Nick Fury isn't dead, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
He is currently MIA, which is a bad thing.
Because yeah. Winter Soldier is just tearing everybody apart in this series.
Oh, yeah, it's great, though.
And I don't know
like
about
that,
you, but I love Shocky mm-hmm. Dan so far just because of the way he talks.
Yes.
And his name. It's just, Shocky Dan will do the killing. You two go. I was like, okay, Shocky Dan's a thing.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the, of I'd call him a vampire, because what else do I call him? German vampire. Is he
oh,
actually,
right, him,
I feel
yeah.
bad about, you probably know his character name. I feel terrible.
I don't, actually.
Oh, great. So
it's been bothering me this entire time. I'm sorry?
If he, for all we know, he's a new character. But if he isn't, and you know what his name is, please call in. It's 718-664-9468. But anywho, yes. So we have ourselves this character who's very interesting. He has a bloodlust. He enjoys eating fancy food, and something about him looks very what is it? You know, he has very nice features to him. So he's clearly German.
Clearly.
No, really.
And he got incredibly angry when the dude slapped away his bowl of soup before he could finish.
Oh, yeah. Which, to the point where it was like, hey, I'm going to kill you. I mean, either he really likes food or he's German. That's what comic books have taught me. Are you a foodie or are you German? Take the test, Marvel. But, yeah, so honestly, so far, though, I really enjoyed it. I only recommend purchasing it because it's a 5-issue miniseries. So currently we're 3 issues in. There's not mm-hmm. much time left before it's done. So it's one of those things where it's just, why wouldn't you pick it up?
Exactly.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah. So definitely pick up Winter Soldier, Bitter March. It's very interesting. The art style is actually really cool. It's kind of like a retro style to it.
It reminded me a bit at first of Batman Year One, the kind of art style.
Ah, yes. I can see a bit of that.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, yeah, so definitely get Bitter March. All right. How about, you know what, we should start doing comic books that we don't like. This is getting a bit tiresome. Definitely buy the one we're talking about.
Definitely.
Thumbs up. Marvel is not paying us. DC is not paying us. Actually, good. We'll talk about this one then. Not that I didn't like this issue that came out this week, but I'll say that it's a bit underwhelming.
Which issue
is this? Superior one? Justice League 28.
Oh, okay.
Justice League 29.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it mainly because of the Metal Men.
Here's the thing. I enjoy the Metal Men, actually. When they first appeared in Justice League 28, it was 28, yes? When they
yeah.
appeared?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I wasn't a big fan, not of them, but of the fact that this is what we were doing. We were just doing an origin story that isn't related to the, you know, the crime syndicate. I was like, all right. Then I see how they are, and I'm like, all right, I really like you guys. Then it's like, oh, we can bring them back to life, so it's okay. Awesome. Now we have the Metal Men, but they aren't really fighting evil yet. I mean, they ended up getting close to fighting evil, kind of like, you know, by the end of it. But mostly in the beginning, it was like, all right, we're still kind of working up, you know, getting these guys awake and moving around and stuff. And it's one of those things where it's just, you know, I really want there to be more intertwining stuff. And I know Forever Evil 7 is coming out, the last one, next month?
May 21st.
Okay. So... yeah, next month-ish, next month and a half. But it's coming up. But the way they spread those is very weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell they didn't want to spread them that way at first.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, Forever Evil 6
no.
was, like, over a month ago, I think, a little less, maybe.
But still, so, I mean, I love the Metal Men, by the way. They're great. Like, you know,
oh,
they're
yeah.
each of them. Like, I actually, I can only assume there's a new Metal Men series coming out. Right?
There has to be. I mean, I haven't heard, but I'm assuming there is.
Would you put it on your pull list? I think I would definitely look into purchasing it either.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, either monthly or on a TPB, because something about their attitude. Like I have
mm-hmm.
to say, the fact that it, you know, you have Vic saying to them, you're like, hey, do you want to save the world with me? And they're just like, really? Why would you even have to ask that? Of course we would.
That's what we're made for.
Yeah, just that energy and enthusiasm from these guys. Also, maybe it's because I'm a Sentai fan, Power Rangers fan. Well, earlier, you know, maybe that's kind of why they resonate with me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, just having this, like, you know, six, you know, what was it? It's four men, one girl, right?
Yes.
Yeah, four men, one girl task force. I'm okay with this. You know, as that kind of guy. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm cool with it. I like it. I'm good. So,
I mean, the scene that sold it for me is when they arrive to face off against Grid, and the first thing they say is, this town is called Happy Harbor. Maybe it's like Greenland in Iceland, where they swapped out names to keep out the tourists. I was like,
yeah.
What? He's like, let's go to hell, Michigan after this. I bet it's lovely there.
Oh, no, I love right before the Michigan line, one of them was like, I don't think that's correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think your information is correct here. So, yeah, it was definitely fun to read. I mean, it was funny, because if I had to recommend this to people, it's like, I mean, a couple months back, I would have recommended Justice League. Now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it intertwines, but if you've noticed, well, you haven't read everything. Like, I used to read, like, all of the tie-ins and for Forever Evil. And they actually, if there's ever a need to cross over, like the Rogues Rebellion, Rogues Rebellion and the, what is it, and the main universe, you know, main Forever Evil,
mm-hmm.
they would still take the same scenes and they would copy-paste them.
Oh.
In other words, even if you aren't reading anything else, you aren't missing much.
Okay.
You know,
because I've stayed away from pretty much every tie-in except for the Justice League books.
Yeah. The only thing that you are missing, that from what I've read, two things that I would say that you should read because they're kind of cool. The first is Arkham War.
Oh, yeah. I've heard a lot
about
that.
I'm not going to spoil anything for either you or anyone listening because that's not what we're talking about right here, but I would tell everyone, definitely look into Arkham War. It started off very strong, kind of petered off a bit, but it started off very strong. And, it's going to affect the universe. So if you're a Batman reader and it gets back from Zero Year and you're extremely confused, well, get Arkham War as soon as you can. And also, I would like to say Justice League Dark was very interesting because I do enjoy Constantine a bit from what I've read. So having Constantine basically trying to get his team back and kind of like, you know, get everything back together to whatever status quo is for them,
mm-hmm.
it's very interesting, especially because he has to work with like the Swamp Thing and Nightmare Nurse.
Oh, I had no idea about that. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's great. Sadly, this is a bit of a spoiler, but hopefully it gets you guys involved. Nightmare Nurse is, you know, kind of like, you're talking to Constantine. Constantine's a bit worried, but the nurse is like, no, I'm here to help. And she I have something, you know, to help us. And he's like, oh, no, I can't work with Swamp Thing. And she's like, oh, it's not exactly a Swamp Thing exactly. And it's like this giant blue, like, version of Swamp Thing. And basically, she cut off a piece of Swamp Thing, genetically altered it or whatever, to be like another Swamp Thing. However, you can't simply cut off a piece of Swamp Thing. He is everything. So all of a sudden, the thing looks like it's pregnant. Something carved out of it and basically looks like it's giving birth. It's a little, it's like kind of like a, I say little, but it's little compared to the giantness of this green Swamp Thing that grows immediately into the normal Swamp Thing and basically looks at them and says, do you think that you could do this to Swamp Thing without Swamp Thing realizing it? And I sat there and went, what am I reading?
Yeah. This is Justice League Dark, right?
Yeah.
No,
he's immediately, oh, thank God. I mean, this is Justice League Dark, right? All right, now I know what never to look at in the comic book store ever again.
Oh, no, now I want to look at it. I'm curious now.
Oh, definitely. I mean, sadly, though, it's, okay, just like how you'll have, like, Justice League and Forever Evil kind of tie into each other, you'll
mm-hmm.
have, like, from the looks of it anyway, from what I've seen, it looks like Justice League Dark will tie into Constantine. Like, it'll tie into all of the supernatural stuff. Like, you know, it'll tie into, you know, Pandora this and this and this, you know, Trinity Sith. So, I mean, I didn't get too far because I just realized, you know what, let me just stick to the, you know, to the less magical side of things for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Justice League, from what we saw, you know, we will recommend people to pick it up, but I mean, if they don't, it's not the end of the world, though it definitely is
like
a good...
It's not like it's mandatory.
No, but it's definitely a great kind of inclusion. Like, if you're thinking, I want to get the full Forever Evil experience, but I don't want to spend too much money, keep on getting the Justice League, or start.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's a great way to kind of make you feel involved, but not, you know, taking too much money out of your wallet. I mean, what was it, $4?
Yeah, $3.99 each week, or each month, right?
Exactly. Each month, yes. So, I mean, it's not the biggest, you know, concern ever. You know, you could do worse. You could have gotten last week's Deadpool. That was like, what, $10?
That was $10, yeah. The wedding special.
Which is something I definitely need to catch up on. I'm only a few issues away from catching up with that. All I hear is Deadpool wedding special, and I'm in.
Yeah, I haven't actually gotten to read it yet. I just picked it up this week, so.
Yeah, but, so, that is all for us this week. That's all we have for you, everyone. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, Anthony Sandandres will not be joining us, sadly. I'm so sorry, Anthony. We love you.
It's okay. Thank you, guys. I didn't know.
We talked about Monday Night Raw with myself and Satish Ram. Rather, wait. I just said Monday Night Raw, didn't I?
Yeah.
Because tomorrow isn't Friday.
If
it makes you feel better, though, Anthony, I don't know if you know this. Did you know that Friday Night SmackDown is actually filmed on Tuesdays?
I did not know that, no.
Yes, actually, yes. Monday Night Raw is live, right? So if they screw up, they're screwing up live. Friday Night SmackDown, I mean, of course they can't screw up either, but let's just say that there were some fans that were doing some things that they don't want to be heard. They can edit it out because it was filmed on Tuesday. Like, the main event, actually, the one that used to be on Ion Television on Wednesdays, it's on Tuesdays now on the network, live. It's an hour before SmackDown is filmed. So, in other words, at 8 o'clock at night, you'll be like, oh, main event is on Tuesdays on the WWE Network. An hour later, they cut the feed off, but that's when Friday Night SmackDown begins and is being filmed from, like, 9 to 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, true story. So, anyway, point being that tomorrow, Satish Ram and I will be doing a Friday Night SmackDown podcast at about 11 o'clock. And then on Saturday, both Satish Ram, myself, and Tristan Walter will be doing a Dragon Ball Z Garlic Jr. saga. Garlic Jr. arc? The point is that Garlic Jr. had an arc, and we'll be doing that on Saturday at 11 p.m. And, of course, next week, Thursday, 6 p.m., will be another This Week in Comics. And I am so happy that you guys have been listening to us. Thank you guys for listening to those guys. And now we will be signing out with a lovely song. Get ready for this.
All right.